Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
So in this marketplace world, market-based world, from nannies and wedding planners to doulas and life coaches, what won't we find a market for? Sociologist Arlie Hochschild has long been studying and writing about market incursions into the private realm, and she continues that work in her new book, The Outsourced Self, Intimate Life in Market Times. Welcome back to the show, Arlie Hochschild.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
So this book includes childcare, which is an obvious one, but also online dating consultants, something called a wantologist, and you see the trend of bringing the market more and more into our interior space. So what does a wantologist do?
A wantologist helps you figure out what you really want. And when I interviewed the wantologist in San Jose, California, I thought I'd come to the end of the world. But you know what? I sat down with her and asked her what she did, and she did some good things. This book, it was a journey for me through a whole service mall that's grown up around us while we haven't been watching over the last 30 years. And a lot of the services, two-income couples, you know, modern families need. But when we go out there, we find ourselves in another world. There's a new language for things. Rent a mom, rent a grandma, rent a brother. It's gone global. So that when you're on Match.com and you want to scan through the replies you're getting to your profile, you can actually hire my man in India from Bangalore to be given a set of criteria and apply them and say, hey, here are the three people that you might want to have lunch with. And I think it's putting us in a new culture of emotional detachment that we really got to look at. This is important.
So listeners, we have a few minutes for phone calls for Arlie Hochschild on the question, what part of your private life do you outsource? Or maybe you're one of the professionals now providing these private services.
Yeah.
Are you someone's rental brother? 212-433-WNYC. 212-433-9692, or post to WNYC.org, click on Brian Lehrer Show, on outsourcing your private life. Talk more about why you think this matters, what the dangers are.
I think, it's like looking at the omnivore's dilemma, looking at food. We're not saying don't eat. We're saying let's stand back and look at how food is produced and consumed. This is a big picture book. This isn't debunking. It's actually saying we have moved a lot of public institutions into the market realm. You know, prisons are privatized, schools are privatized, parks are privatizing, and now are we privatizing our personal life too? And before we take that step, let's take the big long look. I think what makes it important is that it creates an imbalance in our social structure. We're used to looking for balance between the legislative, judicial, and executive branches of government, but we're not looking at the balance between the market and everything else.
In a way, you're talking about privatizing public services, but publicizing our private lives, bringing other people into it.
That's right. That's right. And I think we, some services we need, but others we don't. And what we're really not looking at is what happened to the alternatives. What happened to community? What happened to friendship? Why is that being hard for us? Why is that not there? Or why are government services not there? I mean, it's possible to live in a public rich society. You know, if you walk into a library in Montreal, you think, wow, you know, you don't have to pay a penny to read a lot of good books, feel in good company, because you're living outside the market to some degree.
I gather, though, from the book that you have had your own struggle through your need to find help with caring for your aunt.
Yes.
And you've had to find your own balance with this.
Absolutely. I became in charge of my 90-something eccentric aunt who was a one-room school teacher in Maine, and she believed in being independent. She didn't believe she needed any help. She didn't believe in passing money for any kind of care. She thought the community ought to provide. And I found myself, she's childless, as the one responsible for her, and I couldn't cross the country 3,000 miles, leave my family and job at Berkeley to be her caregiver. So threaded through the outsourced self is my desperate search for someone who could be a loving caregiver, paid loving caregiver to her.
But then that's the upside of this economy, right?
Completely.
And I imagine it's particularly important for women to whom so much caregiving tends to fall if they want to maintain any autonomy or professional life or anything else.
Absolutely. This isn't saying no outsourcing. It's saying let's seek the right balance of outsourcing in a balanced world, precisely.
Arlie Hochschild, UC Berkeley professor, whose new book is The Outsourced Self, Intimate Life in Market Times. How much of yourselves, of your private lives, do you outsource? 212-433-WNYC, or are you one of the providers? 212-433-9692. What do you think the implications are of our trend in this direction? Kate, in the Hudson Valley, you're on WNYC. Hi, Kate.
Hi, I'm a rented grandmother.
You're a rented grandmother? What does that mean?
I can be hired to do what grandmothers usually do.
Uh-huh.
My children are not nearby, mm-hmm. and they haven't done the right thing and produced children anyhow. So I am available for other people. And what I'm doing right now is driving children of working parents.
Mm-hmm.
I've done a little just sitting in a house with a sleeping baby,
mm-hmm.
but I did more of that when I was a teenager.
Mm-hmm.
I've taken care of old people.
Mm-hmm.
I've spent a lot of time driving people to doctor's appointments.
Mm.
I know an awful lot of doctors in this county, and hospitals. I've spent hours in emergency rooms by not being a patient.
Wow.
I'm trying to slow down on that now because I am an older person.
Yeah.
Do you see any cultural downside in your community for the fact that a service like yours needs to be for hire?
Oh, yes. I need friends. I also walk dogs. And I don't really want to work more than 10 or 20 hours a week,
mm-hmm.
Because that's too much like work.
Let me get Arlie Hochschild's take on
this. Yeah, it sounds like you're really providing a needed service. I wonder what it's like for you to take a child to the emergency room if, for example, they have a fall. Or would the parents be there in the emergency room as well?
No,
or just
I haven't taken a child to an emergency room. Well, yes, I have, actually, with a parent a few years back. But I am on sign-up list for several schools to pick up the kids when they're sick mm-hmm. because mm-hmm. the mothers are working.
And there you go. Kate, thank you very much. I'm going to move on to somebody who is another provider. And it's interesting, Arlie, that we're getting mostly providers calling in. Maybe mm-hmm. there's a shame of outsourcing your private life that even though so many of our listeners do this on some level or other.
I do.
People aren't calling in to say. People are calling in to say, "I'm a rented grandmother," or "I'm a children's sleep coach." Right, Brooke and Dobbs Ferry?
Yeah, that's exactly what I do, and I do it because I needed one 8 years ago when my son wasn't sleeping.
Uh huh.
And I looked everywhere, and I found nobody to help me. And actually, now you can hire people who will actually come and do it for you and stay the night. I feel that parents need to learn how to put their children to bed on their own, but I'm the coach. So I go to a family, I hear what's going on, I give them a plan that's going to work expressly for them,
mm-hmm.
And I help them implement it. So I'm not on site during bedtime, but I'm available via text and email, and we're talking the next day to see how it goes. So that's what I do, and I started this just because it seemed to me there was nobody who was doing it when I needed it desperately a while ago.
Well, it sounds like a wonderful thing. And having had a sleepless second born ourselves, I could have used your help as well.
So thank you, Brooke. You're writing about the trend of wanting to professionalize the most intimate details of our lives. But it's funny because at the same time, another cultural trend is that we're seeing with Facebook and Twitter and citizen journalists and reality television, the trend toward everyone being their own expert.
Well, that's right. And we're living with a whole bunch of paradoxes. And some services, I think, help humanize, our personal lives, and we learn how to be better at leading them ourselves. And others, I think, import a kind of a market language. For example, I interviewed a love coach who was helping a woman get on Match.com. And it was a great person. Everyone in this book I came to really like, but I feel like they felt in an imbalanced world. But anyway, this love coach was saying, well, you're on a market, he said to his client, so 1 to 10. You're 49 years old, so probably you're a 5 or 6. You have to brand yourself, so get brand out there. This is the biggest love mall. Count your ROI, return on investment. In other words, he gave her, think of looking for your partner as work. He did a lot of, he gave her a whole language and offered to do many different things for her, write her profile, school her in how to talk, have a conversation. But she did what all the people in my book finally did, which is draw a line somewhere to do this peculiar thing of personalizing personal life. She said to her love coach, look, you're showing me how to brand myself. You're doing the picking out the photo and all that, but only I can scan the replies, because when I meet my special someone, I want to be able to tell him it was I who chose you. So where do we put our signatures? I mean, this becomes a new question that I think unconsciously we're always answering in an everything for sale world.
One of the fundamental tensions of modern life, as described by UC Berkeley professor Arlie Hochschild in her new book, The Outsourced Self, Intimate Life in Market Times. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Brian.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. And coming up next, we'll meet two organizers of the Listserv. It's a lottery that allows the winner to send one email of significance to an 18,000-person list. Stay with us.